Our scripture reading from Isaiah this morning also includes that vineyard imagery. I'll be reading from Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 through 7, and then I'll pick up again at Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 5. Let me sing for my beloved, my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it. He expected it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now, inhabitants of Jerusalem and people of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I expected it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and it shall be overgrown with briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the people of Judah are his pleasant planting. He expected justice, but saw bloodshed. Righteousness, but heard a cry. And then Isaiah chapter 11 at verse 1. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he will judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Sunday after Sunday, we pray the Lord's Prayer. We pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And one way of thinking about this reign of Christ or Christ the King Sunday is to imagine what it would be like when we don't pray the Lord's Prayer anymore. Not because we got tired of saying it necessarily, but because we don't have to pray it. We don't have to pray for God's perfect will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, because it will be done on earth. We don't have to pray, deliver us from evil, such as the atrocities that we've seen in the Middle East, beginning with October 7th, and all the bloodshed in the weeks hence. Or all the war that continues in the Ukraine, or the struggles and conflicts in our own inner cities, or the scourge of addiction that plagues our society and many others. Can you imagine when we no longer have to pray for deliverance from all of that? Can we dare even begin to imagine what that would be like? And in our personal lives, give us this day our daily bread. For many of us, our daily needs are met, and we haven't had to worry about that for a long time. But many people in our own community who may or may not be fully visible to us do still have to pray, give us this day our daily bread. There are many who are food insecure, many in our own communities and around the world. And if we are prosperous enough to have most of our physical needs met, what about our spiritual needs? Maybe we do indeed have enough to sustain life, but But do we have enough to make a life? Do we have the spiritual resources within and with and among those who can help us? To help us grow in wisdom, to prioritize the things that most need prioritizing, and to actually make a life. And imagine what it would be like when we don't have to pray asking for such things, because they will be answered. And on the other hand, why do we keep praying the Lord's Prayer if it's not answered? Didn't we ask for all these things last week? And the week before, and the week before that, and the week before that? One of my favorite stories is about a preacher who interrupted his own prayers of the people to look up and say, "We pray for these things every week." And then he paused for a while, and then he got back to praying the prayer. But what gives us the audacity to keep praying a prayer that doesn't seem likely to be fulfilled? And I believe it's because we have a portrait of a God who won't give up. We are invited essentially not to give up on the God who won't give up on us. The God who reached out to us with all the prophets, the God who was born in Jesus, and we have the teachings of Jesus, we have the gift of the Holy Spirit and the church, this community. We are invited not to give up on the God who won't give up on us. And last week with the prophet Hosea, Hosea was a prophet in the northern kingdom of Israel, and he compared God's love to the love of a mother or a father, a parent, who will not abandon that child, who will do everything to care for that child. And then Isaiah, who was several generations after Hosea, Isaiah was a prophet to the southern kingdom of Judah. He lived in Jerusalem. Sometimes he's even referred to as Isaiah of Jerusalem. And he paints a portrait of a God who lovingly tends a vineyard. He also wants to give us a portrait of a God who won't give up on us. But if you only read chapter 5, you might not realize that. This is a love song about a vineyard. But it ends with God saying, "And now I'll tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I'll remove its hedge and it shall be devoured. I'll break down its wall and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed. It shall be overgrown with briars and thorns. I will command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it." If this is a love song, then it's something like Waylon Jennings' song, like, "I've been a long time leaving, but I'll be a long time gone." That kind of love song. It sure doesn't seem like a love song at all. But there's more. In Isaiah 11, after the vineyard has been devastated, we have, "A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots." These are beautiful words that we often have in our Advent liturgy, but as a part of our Advent hope, our longing, that even amongst the devastation, a shoot will come out. And with that, maybe it's a love song after all. Maybe it's a little more like Luckenbach, Texas. Or isn't it time we got back to the basics of love and pictured God reigning in the world, where God will not judge by what is seen by the eyes or heard by the ears, but with righteousness, judging the poor and deciding with equity for the meek of the earth. That's what makes this an ongoing love song. There's always another verse, because God does not and will not give up on us. And sometimes all we need for hope is just that little shoot breaking through the ground with the promise of more to come. I love this quote from Clarissa Pinkola Estes, the author of Women Who Run with the Wolves. She's a psychoanalyst. But she writes, "Ours is not the task affixing the entire world all at once, but of stretching out to mend the part of the world that is within our reach, any small, calm thing that one soul can do to help another soul, to assist some portion of this poor, suffering world, will help immensely. It is not given to us to know which acts or by whom will cause the critical mass to tip toward an enduring good. Even in the midst of bad news about our world, somewhere in Gaza, an Israeli soldier is reaching out with kindness to the people in a particular neighborhood. Somewhere in Gaza, perhaps a Gazan is even extending hospitality to Israeli soldiers. Somewhere there are people who are going off the script of who they're supposed to hate and why, and reaching out instead in friendship. Or I think of how Elias Shakur had a school in Nazareth where Christians, Muslims, and Jews have been students together for decades. It can work. It can work by each person doing one small thing to further peace and love. God's love song has many verses, and we don't have to sing all of them all at once. We can't. Chances are we won't live long enough to hear that song completed. But what we can do, what we must do, is to sing the verses that God has given us to sing. And may they be a song of love. All glory and praise be to our God. Amen.